Bibles this morning to two openings. I want us to look at two places to start today. If you'll open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8 and stick a marker of some sort in Romans chapter 8, and I probably ought to look too. Romans chapter 8, and then also Ephesians chapter 6. Romans chapter 8. And Ephesians chapter 6. We read these last week, but I want to read them again today, again as an introduction to the introduction that we're continuing here this morning as we talk about victory in Jesus. So mark Romans chapter 8 and look with me at Ephesians chapter 6. In the book of Ephesians, God has given instructions about Christian living, the things that we ought to do by the Spirit of the Lord, the way that we ought to act and behave, the love, the forgiveness, the compassion, all of these things, the way that we should treat each other as men and women, husbands and wives, all of these things. And then he tells us this in Ephesians chapter 6. He warns us that we have an enemy that's going to try to prevent us from walking in the ways of the Lord that God wants us to live by. And he says this in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10. He says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil." And so he's telling us we've got an adversary, we've got an enemy, we've got somebody who's going to try to get between us and right living. Okay? And he's going to try to keep us and prevent us from living right and doing what we ought to do. For, he says in verse 12, "Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day," which is today, by the way. Until Jesus comes again, it is an evil day. Do you get that? The Bible says that the devil is the ruler of this world, the prince of the power of the air, and temptation is always before us as long as we are in this realm, okay? And so he tells us here that we can actually stand firm and resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Now go over to that passage in Romans chapter 8 where I asked you to turn. And just a couple of verses there. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Paul again, this time to a different church, but he writes this: "Who will separate us from the love of Christ?" Who will separate us from the love of Christ? God wants us walking in the love of Christ and showing the love of Christ with others. And so again, this is the way the Lord wants us to live, and we have an adversary who wants to separate us from that, keep us from living the right way. He comes to torment us and to test us and to persecute us and to try us in all kinds of ways in order to move us away from our communion and love walk with God so that he can take us down, take us out, and destroy our lives. Okay? And so he says, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? All of these problems of life, he says, they come to separate you from God. And he asks the question, are you going to let any of these things separate you from God? Boy, let's just look at this list again. Because here's some things that are likely to do that. If we're not standing strong in our faith in the Lord and our love for Jesus, tribulation. Well, we're tribulating in the world today, aren't we? All kinds of things breaking out all over this crazy upside down world that we live in today. And just problems and distress and war and famine and disease and all of these things. Distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. Can these things separate us from the love of Christ? Verse 37. But in all of these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loves us. Here's the thing, guys. Here's the thing. We're in this world. God is calling us. He's filled us with the Spirit. He's wanting us to live right. He gives us instructions. He tells us what to do. He leads us. He empowers us. He does everything that we need to live the life that He's called us to lead. There's an enemy who wants to come in and separate us from God so that we're apart from His strength and from His love and so that we're not walking in the way that God wants us to. But what Paul is telling us here is that the very love that the enemy is trying to separate us from is the very thing that should keep us tied to the Lord and walking in His strength. Loving God with all of your heart, brother and sister, it's the ultimate key to victory. It's the cornerstone of everything else we're going to be talking about. Because in the love of God, I've got about 10 or 11 things to share with you this morning. In the love of God, all of these things will naturally unfold in our lives to help propel us to the victory that Christ has provided for us. Pray with me, would you? Father, I thank You this morning for the Word of God. I thank You for Your love for every one of us and Your desire for every one of us to truly walk in victory in every area and every arena of life. Help us today, Father, in the strength of Your Spirit. Would You teach us this morning? Give us revelation of these truths. Help us to apply them to our lives, that we become doers of the Word and not hearers only. Because Your Word promises us the doer is the one who is blessed. And we'll thank You in advance for the blessings that come our way as we follow after You with all of our heart. Amen and amen. So we're talking about living in victory, or victory in Jesus. And please understand that the fact that we can live in victory, and we're going to define it in just a moment, but the fact that we can live in victory is evidence of God's love for our life. Because you and I can't live in it otherwise and apart from our relationship with God. And thank God, God loves us so much that no matter what it is we may have done in our lives at any point, God still loves us and He's still calling us and still drawing us. And He's never forsaken us. He's never deserted us. And He will walk with us through whatever we're going through and continually give us strength to walk out the victory of Jesus Christ. By victory, here's what I'm talking about this morning. I'm talking about victory over worry, victory over fears and insecurity, victory over temptation and sin, victory over the burdens and the cares of life, victory over bad habits and addictions and all of the negative things that can happen to you in this lifetime. I'm talking about, by the grace of God and the power of the Spirit, walking in freedom from all of these things. How would you like to have a worry-free day? Just one. How many of you like that? You see, but that's what God has for all of us. God wants us to live in, and let me just confess to you right now, and Becky can confirm this afterwards, I'm a world-class worrier, okay? There's so much stuff going on in life, and you know, you have your life, and then you get married, and your worries double. And then you have two or three kids and your worries triple and quadruple. And then you have several grandkids and your worries just magnify about 100-fold at that point. And you've got all of these things and all of these people that you try to carry the burden on your own back for, you see. God doesn't want us to carry that burden. In fact, what the Lord wants us to do, Jesus actually tells us in Matthew, He says, all of you who are heavy laden and burdened and weighed down, He says, come to Me and bring Me your burden and exchange burdens with Me. Give Me your heavy burden and take upon yourself My burden. And oh, by the way, My burden is light and easy. That's the great exchange the Lord wants to make with all of us so that we can live a worry-free day, actually life. That's ultimately the goal. And that's what we need to set. All of the things that I'm sharing with you today, we need to see these things as goals. I realize none of us are living free from totally free from worry. We've got fears. We've got concerns. A lot of us have insecurities and all of these kinds of issues that we deal with in life. And God wants us to be victorious over all of it. Over all of it. He wants us to be free. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you will truly be my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And that's where God wants us to walk, in that communion with Jesus, where we're free from everything else because we've given it all to him. And he wants us to live in that realm of freedom and security, in righteousness, in hope, in peace, and enjoy. And our goal through this series of messages is to get us all to see these things yet again, that God wants us victorious in these things and set the bar for your life a little higher. Can we, let's covenant to do that today, okay? Let's look at our lives. You know, it's very easy. We can all be successful if we set the bar low enough. I remember a story, Priscilla Shirer, her father is Tony Evans, a great, great Baptist preacher. And he told a story years ago about his son, Jonathan, who's also a good preacher. The whole family is just awesome. Anyway, Jonathan, his son came into and told him one day, he said, Dad, come watch. I can dunk a basketball. And his son was young and he wasn't very tall. And Tony looked at him and he thought, man, that's awesome. If this kid can dunk a basketball, we may have gold here. You know what I'm saying? This kid, if he can dunk a basketball at this, I gotta go see what he's up. So he goes outside and sure enough, his son dunks the basketball. The only thing is, he had set the goal down to 8 feet. See? The point is, if we set the goal low enough, we can accomplish anything. Or at least make it look like we're accomplishing something. See? And let me just challenge you today. Let's set the bar higher for our lives. All right? Let's not be satisfied with status quo. Let's not set the bar low enough where we think we've arrived and don't have to get any better. You're not that good. So we need to set the bar a little higher and challenge ourselves to reach for something greater in the Lord. And that's what this series is all about. To try to share some things with us as we go through this and to improve the quality of our life by deepening our relationship with Jesus Christ. Here in Romans chapter 8, we read that we overwhelmingly conquer through all of the stresses of life. God wants us to live free from fear. Paul wrote to Timothy and he says this. He says, God has not given us a spirit of fear. I'm going to watch this. He said he's given us a spirit of power and love and a sound and disciplined mind. He hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us a spirit of power and love. Now watch this. In 1 John, John says this. Put these things together. John says, perfect love casts out fear. Paul says, Timothy, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. He's given you a spirit of love. And by that perfect love, you can overcome that fear. Okay? And that's where God wants us to walk. He wants us to live free from fear and of the things that go on in life. Free from, I don't mean we shouldn't take proper precautions when called for and necessary and all of those kinds of things. Okay, so don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But listen, you and I, we've got, as believers, we've got to learn to live above fear, no matter what the circumstances are that are bringing fear our way. Okay? You know, this COVID thing has just really, really, I think, tested all of us and given us an opportunity to prove where we stand, where our faith in the Lord is concerned. And Full disclosure, I've had 3 shots. I get sicker from the shots than I did from the COVID. But anyway, my point is, you know, as I pray and seek the Lord, I try to do what God wanted me to do, and these are precautions I believe the Lord wanted me to take. And so I try to do what God wants me to do. But listen, we can't live in a realm of fear where we, do you know that there are still people today that are shut down in life and locked away somewhere because of fear of this disease? We had a precious lady come visit our church about 2 months ago, and she came in the back door. She came to worship with us, and she came in. She had a mask on. That's fine. Anything you need to do, that's perfectly fine. She began to ask us about why isn't anybody wearing masks? Why don't you care? All this kind of stuff. And I just tried to explain to her, you know, where we are in this whole process and what our feeling and what our thinking is. And she couldn't stay. She left. And she was just fearful of this disease. And I'm just saying, look, if COVID still locks us up in our house so that we don't go anywhere, do anything, enjoy anything like that, listen, we've already lost, okay? Life has already been stolen from us, if that's where we still are, okay? I'm just saying, God doesn't want us to live in fear. God wants us to trust Him in everything. God doesn't want us to live in anxiety. He doesn't want us to be anxious. The Bible literally says in Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing. Nothing. Don't let anything get in there and upset you and make your heart anxious. The Lord doesn't want anxiety stealing from the quality of life that He has prepared for us. Certainly, He doesn't want sin to destroy the quality of our life. Jesus paid for our sins to break the power of sin over our lives, to set us free from it so that we can walk and live in righteousness before God and live a God-honoring life that resists temptations. We don't have to live with insecurities. I shared with you last week. God loves you. God loves you. He receives you. He honors you. You're special and awesome in His sight. And if we could ever get past the fear of men, it would help us to overcome most of our insecurities. Let's face it, most of our insecurities is we're afraid of what people think about us. See? And if we could ever get past that and just realize, and look, God wants to transform our lives and make us better every day, day after day. But God loves you just like you are. He doesn't want to leave you like you are, but He loves you just like you are. Well, I don't know about you, that blesses me. That just blesses me to know that right now, right here, God loves me. And I don't have to do anything to earn His favor, earn His love, prove myself. I'm free from all of that. And God doesn't want us living in insecurities. He wants us free from all of those kinds of things. He doesn't want our lives controlled by these things. He doesn't want us living defeated and having life robbed from us. He wants us to live the highest quality of life that we possibly can and know the peace that passes understanding, the joy that the Bible says is unspeakable and full of glory. He wants us to know these things, not just here, not just, you know, I memorized that scripture one day. You know, He wants us to know it here in our heart that we're experiencing these things. It's not just a head knowledge, but it's a heart experience that God is after in our lives. And so this series of messages that we're going to be bringing to you are just some practical tools that will enable us to securely walk out the victory that Jesus has for all of our lives. An interesting thing. Just about everything I'm going to be sharing with you in this series of messages, you already know. Now, don't take that as an excuse not to show up. Because you see, as we told you last week, just knowing it isn't enough. Remember Jesus, Matthew chapter 7. Jesus says, the wise man hears my words, acts upon them, and is victorious over the storms of life. The foolish man hears my words, does not act upon them, and when the storms of life come, his life is destroyed. So here's the thing, brother and sister. Our problem, for the most part, is not a lack of knowledge. It's a lack of wisdom. We're not applying what we know. And so these things that we'll be sharing with you, again, these are things that we can apply to our own lives. You know most of these things. Most of you do. But we're not always applying these things. And so as we do, we're going to begin to discover the victory that is ours in Jesus. Now, the very word victory. How many of you know the word victory implies a battle? Victory implies a battle. Now, here's the thing. We all want victory. We don't want a battle. But there is no victory without the battle. It's sort of like miracles, you know. We all want to see a miracle. But nobody wants to be in the situation that requires a miracle to get you out of that situation. See? So, you're not going to have the miracle without the situation. And I'm not saying you need to put yourself in a bad situation. I'm just saying there are things that are going to happen in life. And we're going to have battles in life. And thank God that victory is assured and promised to us in the word of the Lord. What shall separate us from the love of God, Paul tells us? Shall tribulation or peril or sword or persecution or famine or nakedness or any of these kinds of things? No! Why? Because we're going to draw near to God, we're going to keep loving the Lord, and we're going to overcome in all of these areas. The scripture that this church is based on is 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. We looked last week at 2 Corinthians 2 and 14, where it tells us there that God always leads us in triumph in Christ Jesus, so that our lives become a fragrant aroma and a witness and a testimony to the people that we are around. God wants to show forth victory in our lives. And that doesn't mean changing the circumstances, but it most definitely means changing our heart attitude, no matter what it is we're going through in life. So when people look at us and they say, man, why are you so happy all the time? Your situation's as bad as mine is. You're as broke as I am. You're as sick as I am. You're as ugly as I am. Why are you so happy all the time? Well, it's just Jesus. Just happy in Jesus. And you can be sick, broke, and ugly too and be happy in Jesus. And that's what God wants us to show and wants our lives to testify about. Okay? So all of these things, there's battles, and victory implies battle. We have an adversary. In the Bible, he's called the serpent or Satan, the devil, the evil one, destroyer, Lucifer. All of these names, and in John 10:10, the scripture tells us he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He hates God, and he hates you and me. And he comes against us in order to pull us away from the Lord, in order to take us down and to take us out, to wreak havoc in our lives and destroy our lives. He tempts us in every way possible to try to exploit weaknesses in our lives. He lies about everything he possibly can. Our ability, our worth, our value. He lies to us about right and wrong. We're living in the day. Man, we're living in the Bible day. Scripture says in Isaiah, and I think another place too, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. And don't we live in that place in our time, in our day? Listen to this. I just got to say this. Listen to this. We live in a day and time when there is virtually no such thing anymore, no such thing as sexual immorality. Not because we're all living right, but because now everything is acceptable. Everything is acceptable. So there is no more sexual immorality. And we're calling evil good and good evil, just the way the Bible tells us we will in these days. And so we've got to know our enemy, and that's something we'll talk about just a little bit down the road. But we have to understand that we're going to be dealing with him every day of our life. Listen, the Bible says that the devil is the prince of the power of the air. He is the ruler of this world, and what that means is the systems of this world, the standards of this world, all of these kinds of things, they're all ruled by the evil one, by the devil. And as long as you are in these fleshly bodies standing on this planet, we're going to have to deal with him. We can't, I love charismatics. Charismatics can do anything. I love to hear charismatics pray and rebuke the devil, and they always say, "We command you to go back to the pit of hell where you've come from." Do you understand you can't cast the devil into the pit of hell? Jesus can't cast the devil into the pit of hell. It's not their time yet. They're here by right. They do rule in this realm. Okay? So you can cast all you want to, but it's vanity. Okay? So, goodness. We are in this world. We have an enemy who is in this world. The good news is he is already a defeated foe. Let me read a couple of passages for you. You're there in the New Testament. Go about three books, four books, maybe five books. To your right, to the book of Colossians, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, chapter 2. I'm having a good time. Are y'all enjoying this today? I'm having a good time today. God is just so good. God is so good to me, he's given me two Holy Spirits. I have one who dwells in here. I have one who sits over here. Let me tell you something. I joke about that, but God knows I need them both. God knows I need two. Colossians chapter 2. Let me show you the defeated enemy in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. I just missed lunch. She'll lock the door before I get there. Thank you, dear. Okay. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 through 15. Paul writes to this little church. He says, "When you were dead in your transgressions and in the uncircumcision of your flesh," that means you are separated from God, you're living in sin, you have no covenant with the Lord. It says, "Even when you were in that state, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all of our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. And when," verse 15, "when he had disarmed the rulers and authorities. These are spiritual rulers and authorities. He made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through the cross. The picture, it's a word picture that Paul would paint for the people back in those days. If you know anything about the history of those days, when you won a battle back in those days and you conquered a foe, you would typically then capture your enemy and parade them through town as your trophy and conquered enemy, conquered foe, okay? And that's the picture that Paul is painting for us of Jesus and what he's done for us at the cross. What Paul is telling us is that when Jesus died on the cross for you and I, it's as though he has conquered the devil. He has stripped him of his authority and power. And now he is parading him before you so that you can see what a defeated enemy he truly is. And brother and sister, you and I need to learn to understand that. We need to learn to grasp that truth. The enemy that we wrestle with is an enemy who is already defeated. He's already conquered. And he only has the authority over us that we give to him when we yield to his temptations and trials in life. Just like Adam and Eve in the garden. They could have run the serpent out of the garden, except they made the decision to submit to him and listen to him. You and I can run the devil out of town, brother and sister. We can't put him in the pit, but we can run him out of our lives. And we don't have to be subject to him as long as we know the truth that sets us free. We can be free from him, and we can live in victory over him. Praise the Lord. That's why it tells us in the first chapter of Colossians, right there, you're right there at it. Verse 13. Colossians 1:13 says, "For he," meaning God, "rescued us from the domain or from the authority of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son." We no longer live under the domain of darkness, under the authority of the devil. We live under the authority of the Son of Almighty God. That's where we live. And it's a place of victory. And it's where God wants us to abide. So let me try to get through this morning. And I've got about 10 or 11 things that I want to share with you. And these will be the basis of the rest of the study as we go through over the next several weeks, however long it may take. Some of these may take a week each in and of themselves. We may go through several of them on a particular Sunday. But let me just share with you 10 or 11 things today that we can apply to our own lives and spiritual tools, if you will, that can help us to walk out the victory of Calvary's cross in our own lives so that we can live free and to be at peace and experience the joy of the Lord and the hope of God. The first one. And again, everything is going to hinge on this first one. The very first tool that you need to put in your tool belt when it comes to fighting the devil is that you need to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. If you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you don't have authority where the enemy is concerned. And so the first thing is, you need to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. We may talk more about that in just a few moments here this morning. The second thing is that we need to acknowledge the adversary. We need to acknowledge the reality of the devil. I know it's not cool to really believe in a real devil, but I guarantee you he believes in you. And whether you realize it or not, you're wrestling with him on a regular basis. The Apostle Paul would say in 2 Corinthians, Paul would say, we are not ignorant of his devices, of the devil's devices and the devil's schemes. We are not ignorant of his schemes. Sad thing is that many people of our generation are ignorant of the devil's schemes, of his lies, of his ways. And we don't even recognize when it's the devil whispering in our ear instead of the Spirit of God whispering in our ear. And we need to know the truth in order to recognize the difference between the two. The third thing is, we need to surrender our lives daily Heck, moment by moment, we need to surrender our lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul would say in 2 Corinthians, I die daily that the life of Jesus might be manifest in me. And so we need to surrender to the Lord every day. I shared with you a couple of times now the irony that the path to victory is the pathway of surrender. We have to surrender to have victory. We surrender to Jesus to have victory over the devil. Okay? And brother and sister, listen. There is no authority over the devil without submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how authority works. We are under authority, and therefore we have authority. We are under the Lord's authority, and therefore have His authority where the devil is concerned. We need to surrender daily to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We need to live, listen to this one. Number four, I think, we need to live in continual repentance and holiness before God. Continual repentance and holiness before God. Holiness, brother and sister, is not God's attempt to rob us of pleasure. Holiness is God's attempt to protect us from evil. God's not robbing us from pleasure by His command for holiness. The Ten Commandments are not about robbing us of pleasure. They're about protecting us from evil, you see. Number five, we need to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and not on our own strength. We talked about this a little bit on Wednesday night. We have the temptation often to do what we do in our own strength. Even as Christians and even as people who serve the Lord, it's very easy for us to go to the Lord. God, what do you want me to do? God speaks to our heart. He says, I want you to do this, that, and the other thing. And we say, thank you, Jesus. And we get up and we take off and we go out and try to accomplish all of those things that He just told us to do without waiting for the strength of the Holy Spirit to enable us to do those things. We try to do in our own strength what He's called us to do, and it's why we so often fail, feel like failures, wind up quitting in so many things. And often, not even trying other things, because we figure, what's the use? I couldn't do it before, I can't do it now. Listen, when we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, there isn't anything we can't accomplish. Now listen, walking in His power and the accomplishments that we accomplish can only be about doing His will for our life. We can't use the power of God to get what we want out of this world. But we can walk in the power of the Spirit to accomplish God's purposes for our life. And can I just promise you something today? Whatever scheme and whatever plan and whatever desire you have in your heart of hearts today, if it does not come to you by the hand of God, God has something better for you. And the whole reason God is asking you to lay down what it is that you're plotting, planning, and scheming is because He's got something better to give to you, and He can't do it till you let go of what you're trying to do for yourself. We need to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Number six, and maybe seven, we need to renew our minds to the Word of God. Paul tells us that we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. And then as we renew our mind to the truth of the Word of God, we need to learn then to take our thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. You see, the truth will set us free. But often we don't know the truth. And we're always, always, always hearing voices in our heads. We really are. And so many times what we're hearing is the lying voice of the enemy trying to belittle you, trying to put you down, trying to get you to quit, trying to get you to give up, trying to tempt you to do something wrong, trying to justify what you already did that was wrong. That's the voice that we're listening to all the time. That's the voice that we're most often trying to follow in life. Because we don't recognize that it's ultimately the voice of the enemy himself. And that's why it's so important that we know the Word of God. Again, John 8:31, Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, then you're truly my disciples. Then you will know the truth. And the truth of my word will set your life free." So we've got to know the Word of God so that we can know those thoughts that we're listening to. Which ones do we reject? Which ones do we lay hold of? We lay hold of God's words and God's thoughts. We reject the enemy's words and the enemy's thoughts, and we walk in victory. Number seven, we need to wield a spiritual sword. When we talk about this, I'm talking about talking to the enemy. Oh, Pastor, I'd look like a fool if I talked to the devil. Well, just let him beat you up then. I mean, the choice is yours. You can talk to the enemy and overcome him, or you can just stand there and let him kick your teeth in. It's up to you which way you want to go. Jesus talked to the devil. David talked to his enemy. Remember Goliath? We'll study that one. You need to speak the truth of God to the enemy that you're facing. That's spiritual warfare. And you need to do it until you win. You need to keep doing it. If you have to do it 1,000 times a day, you need to do it 1,000 times a day until the enemy finally leaves you alone. We'll look at that in Matthew and in Luke as well as in the life of David. Number 8 or 9, don't stop believing. Don't ever stop believing in what God says in His Word. Don't ever stop. Don't let the enemy talk you out of believing what God has promised you. Don't ever let the devil talk you out of believing what God's word says. Peter says, 1 Peter 5, watch this. The devil is a roaring lion, but we resist him, watch, firm in our faith. You just keep on believing. If you have to stand alone to believe what you believe in, you stand alone, but you keep believing. And you stand in faith until the battle is over. Number 9, and we'll probably definitely have to take a whole session on this. Did you know that praise and worship is actually a tool that we can use against the enemy that will defeat him and run him out of your life? Guys, listen to me. I hope you will. Please, please, please wake up for a moment and put your pens down or for a moment or do something. Please hear me today. The first 20 or 30 minutes of our service on Sunday morning, we call it the praise and worship time. Brother and sister, please hear me. It's not just filler time. We're not just filling a few minutes before the sermon. That's not what praise and worship is about. Praise and worship is about preparing our heart to receive the word of the Lord. It's about setting our mind and fixing our mind on spiritual things and on the Lord. It's about setting our focus on where it ought to be. That's the purpose of praise and worship. And that's the reason we do it for 20 or 30 minutes on Sunday morning. It's not pre-game warm-up or something like that. It's the big show, guys. And we need to be worshiping the Lord and focusing our mind on God. Listen, if you leave church on Sunday morning and you felt like you didn't get anything out of the message, first thing maybe we ought to ask ourselves is, well, if you didn't get anything out of the message, did you really enter into the praise and worship before the message? Because it's likely we didn't. We gave nothing to the Lord, and so we received nothing back. Thank you, Lord. That's pretty good. Tenth thing, or 11th, the last thing, and we'll have to stop here. In addition to all of these other things, you and I, who believe in Jesus Christ, need to learn to live in harmony with brothers and sisters in church community. We need to be committed to one another. Do you understand? The Bible says, we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we're to love one another, our brother, our sister, as ourselves. I want you to see what God is saying in those words of the Lord Jesus, by the way. Here's what he's telling us. Our relationship, the quality, let's put it this way, the quality of our relationship this way between us and God is actually lived out and reflected in the quality of our relationships this way, person to person. If we're not all in with one another, if we're not committed to one another, tied to one another, it's very likely the reason that we're not is because we're not really committed to God. John says it this way in his epistle. If you don't love the brother that you can see, how can you love the God you can't see? There's a direct relationship. And we need to live out our Christianity in community with one another, committed to one another in a local body of believers where we can meet with one another and fellowship with one another and encourage one another in times of trouble. We can pray for one another. We can carry one another's burdens. We can lift up one another's arms. We can help one another find the victory that God has for us all. Let's pray together. Bless you, Lord. So these are the points we will be building upon over the next several weeks together as we talk about these spiritual tools that we can use to grow in our relationship with the Lord and maintain His victory over our enemy day to day. The victory is there, brother and sister. It's there for the taking. It's already won. It was won by the Lord Jesus Christ. He freely gives it to us. We have to make the decision, are we going to seize the day? Are we going to lay hold of what God has provided for us? Are we going to lay hold of Him who has laid hold of us? Father, let it be. And Lord, as we go through these messages over the next several weeks, I pray that You would give us inspiration and revelation by Your Spirit. That truly, Father, we would hear Your truth, the truth that sets us free. And we thank You, God, for every step of victory along the way that You give to us as we surrender more and more to You every day. Thank You, God. Thank You, God, that every day You have better for every one of us. Help us not be content or complacent. Help us to push through and forward into everything that you have for us as your children. I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.